For a faster, easier way to clean pots and pans and bathroom fixtures, change to Babbo, the amazing cleaner that dissolves grease. Makers of Babbo present Laura Lawton, the story of what it means to be the wife of one of the richest, most attractive men in all America. The story of the conflict between love and riches in a world so many dream of, but where so few dreams come true. Ladies, why put up with tedious cleaning methods that take so much extra time and make you so tired? Instead, discover the amazing cleaner that women the nation over have voted fastest, safest, most economical. Yes, discover grease-dissolving Babbo. You see, we asked almost 6,000 women from coast to coast to compare Babbo with ordinary cleansers with the new cleansers. To compare Babbo for speed, time saved, safety, and economy. Here are the answers we've received. Babbo saved on the average over 2 minutes in cleaning a wash basin, over 3 minutes in cleaning a kitchen sink, over 2 minutes in cleaning a frying pan. Total savings that average over 1/2 hour a day. These, remember, are average savings. If you have a large household, think how Babbo can save you even more than the amazing time savings reported. And women who answered also voted Babbo most economical. That's because so little Babbo does so much. Now you may ask, how can Babbo save time, save money? Well, here's the answer. 90% of your scouring these days is caused by grease. Babbo, unlike ordinary cleansers, was specifically created to dissolve grease. You simply wipe Babbo on, grease is dissolved, dirt just wipes off. It's easy, thorough, you're through fast. So if you want to save time, switch to Babbo, voted fastest, safest, most economical. Today, ask for the green can with the big white letters B-A-B-O. And to save steps, get 2 cans, one for the bathroom, one for the kitchen. And now, Laura Lawton. Yesterday, Laura told her friend May Case that she feels she has found a way to prove to her estranged husband, Peter Carver, that she still loves him and wants him. A way to break through the wall of misunderstanding which has arisen between them. Now, unaware that May is still in London, England, Peter is seated in one of London's great parks with Ilse Borg, the glamorous girl with whom he has become so unwillingly involved. And she is saying,
Peter, when I met you in America, the plans were made that I should come here to England on the same ship as you. I had no intention, believe me, of utilizing you in any way, of involving you.
I'm sure you hadn't, Ilse. I merely say I wish I hadn't gotten mixed up in it, because it rather ties me to London, and I had other plans.
Why did you stop talking, Peter?
Because I realized what a fool I'd be to tell you what my plans are.
You do not trust me.
I don't trust the people you're involved with. I've sent May Case home to America.
You will miss your secretary, will you not?
Yes.
It is because of me you've had to do this.
If you're being followed about London by people who take pot shots at you, or at one another, some of those shots might glance off in my direction, and in the direction of anyone I cared about.
It is a point.
It's a very good point. Now, Laura will be out of the country on this photography mission of hers on the continent. Nothing can hurt her. May will be home in Washington, D.C., and nothing can hurt her. And I'm surely big enough to take care of myself.
You're very wise. These people would, if they decided to attack you, do it through someone you love. Laura, May, your sister. And it would be done very skillfully, Peter. No one would know.
You mean Laura might be found in the Thames River one day?
Yes. That is why you must establish a reconciliation, Peter. People who are seen and known do not disappear.
What do you mean?
People who are in love and are seen together do not commit suicide. Do you see? A suicide, when it surprises everyone, can be treated as a murder. But a suicide which follows a period of estrangement and bitterness is seldom questioned. At this moment, for you or Laura to do something desperate would cause not much surprise. Ah, yes, he was in despair. His heart was broken. Or she wasted away for love of him.
Ilse, you really are rather a grim little character. Do you know it?
I've lived with grimness, Peter.
I'm very glad Laura's out of England.
Peter, write to her and rebuild this wonderful thing you have between you.
It isn't wonderful anymore, Ilse. I think that all that's left to Laura and me now are memories. And we're probably luckier than most at that.
Oh, that's such a bitter thing to say.
Well, perhaps. No, Laura and I may meet one day, Ilse. But I don't think that we can achieve much just yet. I think that we were both very prodigal with something that was more precious than we realized, that's all. Now then, what are your plans for the day?
I have none.
When do you expect to go to the continent, to your country?
I'm waiting for word.
Look here, Ilse, this is just an opinion.
Go on, Peter.
Do you think you're achieving very much? Don't you think that by going back to America, you'd be helping more?
It would look to you, I believe, that I was accomplishing nothing. I agree. And it would make many people happy if I returned to America. My uncle, for one. But I cannot do that. I must be a part of what is happening, and I must help where I can. Though it is very little indeed.
I know. I've no right to talk to you about what you should do. Let's walk, shall we? I'm getting restless.
Very well.
Ilse, about this business of my being your husband, your being my wife, don't you feel that it's rather a thin pretense? I do happen to be known here, and so does Laura. There are people who know us as a couple who've been entertained by us in Washington.
Oh, I grasp that straws, Peter. I know it's a pretense I can't keep up very long, but for the moment it's very useful. Did you see the man who was feeding the pigeons over there?
Yes.
He was one of them. One of the others. It is why I slipped my arm through yours. As I would do if you were my husband.
You make me feel very foolish. Rather embarrassed, really, because I believe you with half my mind and I scoff with the other half. There should be more pistol shots, Ilse. They convince me.
There will be, Peter. There will be.
Meanwhile, in her little London flat not far away, Laura's humming and working as her newly found friend Joe Barney comes into the living room.
Hi, Laura.
Joe, hello.
I didn't come to see you last night because I thought you'd rather be alone to get over your disappointment about not getting permission to go across the channel to Europe.
That was very understanding of you.
And I know that you are the type of girl who likes to fight things out alone.
I fought it out. I cried like a baby after Angie and Hank Warfield left without me. I felt terribly pushed around. And then I remembered you and didn't feel so terribly left out.
It was a bad break for both of us. I don't like waiting around much either. Oh, Laura, who's the white-haired lady who told me to come right up?
Oh, May Case, my husband's secretary.
Peter Carver's secretary? What's she doing in London?
Oh, right now, she's sharing this flat with me and hiding from Peter. Peter shipped her back to America, he thought.
Oh?
He sent for her to come and look after him and then found he was a little involved and sent her back. But she decided to come and stay with me.
Withholding a few facts, aren't you, Laura?
I have to, Joe.
Incidentally, I've been looking into things about that girl.
Ilse Borg, you mean?
Yes. Don't worry about Peter too much. He's just being used.
I'm not worrying about him.
What are you doing there? You look like an artist.
I am, didn't you know?
I thought you just took pictures with your camera.
Oh, I can draw them, too. Paint them.
So I see. What is this? Nice.
Joe, prepare for a shock. I'm drawing a few messages for Peter.
Drawing messages?
Mm-hmm. Not writing them, drawing them. Little pictures.
They're pretty.
I'm going to send them to Peter day by day. I can't go to see him. I can't confuse him. Can't confuse things for him and for Miss Borg by appearing with him.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to send him these. Aside from all that's happened here in London, the important thing is that I get word to Peter.
Love the guy, don't you?
Of course I do.
This one is the picture of a church.
Mm-hmm. A high stained glass window that Peter and I thought was so lovely. It was a church in Florida, as a matter of fact. And poinsettias grew outside it. Peter and I went to services there, and when we came out, we stopped to look at them and the window. It was Christmas time. I'd never seen poinsettias just growing like that. It was the first Christmas after we were married. As a matter of fact...
Laura, come back.
I was pretty far away for the moment, Joe, remembering. I thought I'd send it to Peter to make him remember.
Beautiful.
And this one is a little house we spend a winter weekend at. There never was so much snow or so much happiness. Open fires and long walks and the whole world being right.
These look like Christmas cards, Laura. And some of the best I've ever seen, too.
Well, somehow or other, our happiest times were at Christmas, Joe. Peter and I loved this season. We were like kids getting ready for it. And
past happiness remembered in time of present sorrow. He'll come back to you, Laura.
Do you think he will?
I would. If someone sent messages like this to me, I'd come back. Such thoughtful, colorful messages. And Peter will recognize them. It's the language that you and he know, that everybody knows. You're speaking to him in the tongue of your happiness together.
Joe. Look, here's another one. The staircase in our home, the Christmas the war ended. I stood at the top, looking down at Peter by the table with the candles and holly on it.
Right there?
Uh-huh, right there. And the world was good. Peter said as I came down the stairs...
Merry Christmas, my darling. It's going to be a good year. It's going to be a good world. Merry Christmas.
It was a good Christmas. And there was the promise of so many more. I'm trying to make that promise come true, Joe. Really true. I'm trying to make Peter want to relive them and make them be again. Do you see? With these cards, each one picturing one of our happiest moments in life, I'm hoping to find new happiness. A new shining happiness.
Christmas cards. Christmas cards with a precious meaning. Will they help to bring an answer to the prayer in the heart of Laura Lawton? Ladies, if you still clean your kitchen and bathroom with any ordinary cleanser, ask yourself, aren't you buying it just from force of habit? Aren't you failing to profit by these simple facts? Today, 90% of your daily scouring is caused by grease. Ordinary sluggish cleansers cannot easily dissolve grease away. But there is a cleaner specifically created to dissolve grease, Babbo. With grease dissolved, you gently wipe dirt and grime away without needless hard scouring. It's safe, easy, thorough. You're through fast. Think this over. We're sure you'll want to switch to B-A-B-O, Babbo. Get Babbo today. Ladies, Europe has been hungry a long time. Now they're coming closer and closer to actual starvation. And if hunger brings on a collapse of the effort abroad to build free governments, our own freedom, prosperity, and peace will be seriously threatened. But you can help, and it's easy. Just observe these simple rules. Eat no meat on Tuesdays, no eggs on Thursdays. Save a slice of bread every day and waste nothing. Remember, save wheat, save meat. Save the peace. Laura Lawton will be on the air at the same time tomorrow. Ford Bond speaking and asking you to remember that Laura Lawton is brought to you by Babbo, the grease-dissolving cleaner. So tune in tomorrow. And meanwhile, keep your kitchen spotless with Babbo, B-A-B-O. Open clogged drain pipes, use Lycons. L-Y-C-O-N-S.
This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.